6, please. We'll start there. I'm not going to do an exposition of this portion of Scripture, but I just want to talk about you and I, since we belong to Jesus, when Jesus Christ saved us and we are identified with Him. I'm a married man, and except when I was working in the construction trade, I had a ring on all the time so people would know. And so I've identified with that I'm married. I'm letting the world know. I remember it in China Grove, North Carolina. I was preaching one time, and I was trying to witness and counsel a lady, an older lady, that said she had some questions and issues. And the big, we had 300 people crammed in there, and just so noisy. And I tried to listen to her, and so as I tried to read her lips as I was listening to her to give her some advice, and I kept having to get closer, and because the closer I got and the more I tried to focus on what she was saying, the softer she got. And she went out the door that night and said, "Pastor, that preacher's flirting with me." And I was 50 years old. She was 85, I think. But I'm a happily married man. And I didn't ask her if she was rich. I don't know what's got to do with nothing, but it came into my heart. Yeah, my wife says, "Get running that rabbit there." Okay, Romans chapter 6, verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Now, there's some kind of real baptism that puts us in Christ.
Amen.
That's the real one.
Right.
And it said, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Water baptism is a likeness of the real thing.
Right. Amen. Amen.
And so, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. It is a public statement identifying ourselves as people that have been raised from the dead.
Amen. Right.
And now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. I'm glad. Water baptism, they don't hold you under until you die.
Yes.
They lift you back up. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what proves to the world that we were dead, but now we're alive unto God. "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith and faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us." He said, "Now we that are dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more." So when you identify with this likeness and this reality of what the Father baptizes us into the Spirit, and the Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, and Christ baptizes us into the Spirit, and they're all working in the different levels, but they're all identified with putting us into the plan of God, in the person of God, so that we are one with Christ in all of our living, in all of our future. He said, "He died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." So it is a reminder to us and to those that see us that we have been dead. We acknowledge that we were dead, and that now we are alive unto God through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And it reminds us especially that we know we can't die anymore.
Amen.
Death hath no more dominion over us. When I came to Christ, I came as a dead man. I came as a guilty man. I came without a word coming out of my mouth. I was guilty before a thrice holy God, and I knew I had nothing to turn to, no one to turn to, no plan that I could fix this thing. But I fell at the foot of Jesus Christ's cross, and there the precious blood of Jesus Christ convinced me that he loved me that much, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and rose himself up by the omnipotence of his own power, that he can do something for this old jerk.
Oh, yes.
I was convinced, and I believed it. And then I tell you a little bit about my background. I was sprinkled. I was poured. I sprinkled again. I was poured again. Then I was immersed. Then I got saved. Then I got baptized.
Amen.
All those other things had nothing to do with it. But I want to talk about this thing because I've seen it on the foreign field. There's many a place that we go, especially I was thinking of Nagaland and Assam over there in India, where some are really hard communist communities, some are really hard Muslim communities, some are real tough Catholic communities. And believe me, the official Catholic Church in foreign countries is a lot different than what we have in this country.
You're right. Amen.
They're not even the same because this nation, for better or for worse, was built upon a Protestant type of foundation, including the dissenters and the Baptists, of course. But it was the Baptists. Well, you know all that history. But I'm just saying, here's what we've got. It identifies us. Now, I'm glad my wife, when she married me, she was not ashamed to identify with me and change her name and take upon her my name. So that when you get baptized, after you're saved, you're identified with several things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our first one I want to look at is in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 6. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 6. And there's a few verses. It's not going to be a three-hour message like I would preach in foreign countries, but it's going to be concise. 3, verse 16, the Bible said, I'm going to find it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 6. Yes. The Bible says, John the Baptist, they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, when you get baptized after you're born again, you're identifying with those that have confessed themselves to be sinners.
Amen. That's right.
You're in good company. There's not a sinner that could come into the church service tonight that should feel uncomfortable being around other sinners that know exactly how they feel. Most everyone here came to church while they were still lost.
Right.
And so we understand sinners.
Amen, preacher. Right.
Yes, I know we're saints. I know we're saved. I know we're forgiven. I know we're dead to sin. I know we're alive unto God. But oh, we remember because we still have that old nature. It's still there.
Right.
It's dead, but that never means it ceases to be. It just means from now we can separate ourselves from it. We know we have a dualism in us.
Amen.
And so that conflict is there. That old man, Michael Jerk Thurmond, has not changed any since I got saved.
Mm.
But I have a new man.
Amen.
There's a new man born in me.
That's right.
By the same seed that conceived Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. The word of God. For we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So the seed came into my heart and conceived by my free will. I accepted it. I received it. And Jesus was born in me.
Amen.
That's the new man.
Right.
This thing is a lot bigger than you can preach this like I have for 47 years. And you're still hard to grasp all that God has been doing.
Yeah.
All that he had to go through to get us out of the mess that mankind is in. And so it identifies us with confession of sins. They all went down to the river and they were confessing themselves sinners. They confess their sins. I know people that want to get saved, but they're not going to admit they've done anything wrong. They're not going to admit that they have violated God's law. They're not going to admit anything. They have no intention of even changing. And I've had some preachers tell me and rebuke me publicly because they said, you mean a person came and once asked Jesus to save them, if they have no intention of changing, that they can't call on Jesus and get saved? I said, no. Jesus will receive you just as you are as long as you have no intention of staying the way you are.
Amen, preacher.
Because he has no intention of leaving you the way you are.
Amen. Amen.
And so he's got a plan for us. He's wanting to change us into the likeness of his precious son.
Yeah.
And so when we get water baptized, it doesn't do anything. except identify us.
Amen. Amen.
It's like that Marine haircut. I won't need one. I notice you don't really need one either, my friend. Uniformity breeds unity. And you don't have to worry. I've got people telling me all the time, well, you old independent, fundamental Baptist people, you're just trying to make cookie cutters out of everybody. Everybody look the same, act the same, walk the same, dress the same. I said, no, listen, you be around military people, they can all be in dress uniforms, but they all have different personalities. You can't hide that. You can be a shepherd and you can have 3,000 sheep in the herd, and that shepherd knows which one. He knows the difference, and I can't. I know women that have identical triplets. I can't see the difference. They can.
That's right.
And so identical twins, if they're really identical, I'll leave that to mom and dad to decide. I'll just call them sister. Because if I don't know who you are, I'll just call you sister.
Amen.
So it identifies you with confession of sins. It identifies you with repentance of those sins.
Yes, sir.
Huh. Oh, boy. Now, I'd have to be real careful if it wasn't for the fact that I know this brother. We're living in days when we're being told that you don't have to repent of your sins to get saved.
Preach.
That's a heart preparation. Proverbs 16 verse 1 says the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. If he's not doing both, you're not going to get in. It's a work of ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to take the word of God and convince us and convict us and convince us that we are sinners and that we need to release those things. You can't change yourself. I can't change. I can't quit sinning.
Amen.
But he can help me because he wants to help me
quit
my sin. But a man says all the time, it's just 2 weeks ago, somebody said, well, after he preached, he said, well, you don't have to repent of your sins. He said, nowhere in the Bible it says a man have to repent of his sins. I said, well, goodness gracious. How about deeds?
Preacher.
At least 16 times. They repented not of their sorcerers. They repented not of their adulteries. They repented not of their fornication. They repented not to give him glory. They repented not of their deeds.
Right.
That remember the thief on the cross. He said, I'm going to confess as he's dying with Jesus. He said, he rebuked the other malefactor because he said, but we received the due reward of our sins, of our deeds.
That's right.
It's our deeds that's killing. Men hate the light and don't come to the light because their deeds are evil and they don't want to be reproved and rebuked and exhorted about their sin. They want to go to heaven without dealing with their sins.
That's good, preacher. Amen.
John 3:19, this is the condemnation that light is coming into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. He said in John 3:20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John 8:41, ye do the deeds of your father, the devil. Romans 2:6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And all these deeds are evil. So evidently, if they're evil deeds, they must be sins.
Right. Yes, sir.
So just because it doesn't use the word repent of sins, it does use the word repent of sin, and it does use the word repent of deeds.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So people build a whole easy believism philosophy over that. I said, the Bible says in 2 Peter 2:8 that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, if they're unlawful deeds, evidently they're sins. So I'm just saying that's one of those buttons that sometimes I push for myself.
That's good.
But it's a grief upon me. Again, if we could have stopped sinning, we would not have needed Jesus Christ to die on the cross and by the omnipotence of his power move into our life by the Holy Spirit of God to give us grace to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. So I'm just saying, when you get baptized, you're identifying with people that repent of their sins.
Amen.
Well, I'm not going to tell anybody what my sins are. Well, we've got so many of them, it'd take a long time for us to confess all of them publicly. But you know in your mind. I had somebody tell me one time, well, you don't have to list all your sins and name all your sins in order to be saved. But I said, but Jesus, the devil took Jesus up to the peak of the temple and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Can the Holy Spirit show you all the things you've done in a moment of time? I'll just say this. If you would rather have a Snickers candy bar than Jesus Christ, Snickers becomes a sin that'll keep you out of heaven. If you'd rather have any sin in your life than Jesus, that's going to stand between you and Almighty God. So that's why we repent of all of our sins. But the repentance is toward God.
That's it. Amen.
You know this. You see this. You feel my pain. You're touched with the feelings of my infirmity. And I'm identifying. I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I've repented of my sins. And I'm dead. And I'm going to be raised again. And now I'm going to go walking in newness of life.
Amen.
I've invited the change. The repentance. It's a change of mind. But it's not just a change of mind. The Greek word translated change of mind is over there when Paul was dealing with the barbarians on the Melita, when the snake bit him and all that. He said they watched him and they saw he should have fallen down dead when he should have swollen up and all those kind of things. But then when he didn't, they changed their mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not the same word translated repentance anywhere. So the King James Bible translators only used a different Greek word to say change their mind. But it is a change of mind, but it's why you change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you change your mind about your sins? Why? Because it grieved your heart. Because your sins were against God.
Yeah.
God repents all the way through the Bible. But he never repents for his own sins because he doesn't do any. God repented because man's sins grieved him at his heart and he changed his mind because of grief at heart over sin against God. So repentance, in my definition, is a change of mind because of grief at heart over sin against God. It's not because it's not healthy. It's not because it's not the wise thing. It's because I've sinned against God. That's Bible repentance. And so you're identifying when you get baptized with confession of sins, with repentance of sins, and with remission of sins. I'm alive now. My sins are gone. They were washed away with the blood of the Lamb. I'm entered the priesthood of the believer, and the priest had to be washed from top to bottom. And that's why we preach that every individual in the body of Christ is a priest now. And baptism is a picture of that. Not that it washes away our sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. That's how you wash away your sins. Not the water, but it's a picture of you called on the Lord and he washed away your sin. He bathed you. Jesus said, they that are have been forgiven, have been washed, need not save to wash their feet and their hands. You don't have to take a whole bath again. So all these things come together, but water baptism is a likeness. It's just a picture. It's a memorial of all that we are and all we have in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's tough because it identifies us with belief, remission of sins. We believed that we have received Christ and my sins are gone. See, you cannot live for God until you have life. Now, if a lost man will practice the principles and precepts of the Bible, he'll have a successful, prosperous life and die and go to hell.
Right. Man.
That's what the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the wisdom books of the Bible. Boy, if we could just get lost men. And our founding fathers, many of them were lost men, but they were Bible men, and they were Bible principled men, and they lived good, successful life, and they helped establish this country. And some of them were godly, godly men.
Yes.
Now, I know they always like to say Thomas Jefferson was a deist and all that, but you read the letters that he wrote to John Adams. They had a long... They both died on the same day, and they'd written letters even the day before to each other. And Jefferson started three churches in Washington, D.C. So if he was a deist, he said, why are these buildings sitting empty? Some of them need to be emptied. So that identifies you with belief. Philip said to the Ethiopian, if thou believest with all thine heart. Now, I don't know how to measure all my heart. I don't even know my heart. But I believe with all I know. And that's why children can get saved. That's why old folks can get saved. It's not how much faith you have. It's who you put your faith in. And if we believe the word, you identify with those people who gladly received his word.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not... We had a pastor when I first got saved, and I'd already been through that. Like I said, my wife was a member of a Southern Baptist church, and that's where her membership was, and I was an old Methodist, seventh-generation Methodist boy, and we were going, and all of a sudden, we got our paths crossed with old B.M. Page. And he became my pastor. We moved out to Belleville, and he looked at us. And he said, well, you got to get baptized to be a member of this church. I said, okay, my wife's already been baptized. I've been baptized, sprinkled, catechized, cauterized, I mean, everything. And it was a mess. And so I helped build a block wall in the corner of the building, and we put a garden hose right out of a deep well in the middle of winter. And put a ladder over it, a 10-foot ladder, so we could get those legs down, so we could get up one side and down another. And he said, you got to be baptized. You've been baptized. But she's baptized in Southern Baptist Church. He said, I don't accept that. So, my wife said, well, I'm supposed to be a member here. If that's what I have to do, that's what I got to do. I'm going to identify with this church.
Amen.
I'm going to identify.
Amen.
So, like a gentleman, I had her get in that cold water first. I mean, ladies first. I mean, you know, she warmed it up about 3 degrees for me. And then I got baptized, and we've been happy Baptist ever since. And identifies you with belief, and identifies you with believers, and it identifies you with Christ. If anyone didn't need to be baptized, it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, no, don't. I'm not. I want to be baptized. He's identified himself with us.
Bless his name.
He was baptized by like a sinner. All because he was getting ready to take our place. He identified with sinners.
Right.
And eateth with sinners. And you notice when Jesus fellowshipped and ate with sinners, they changed, not he didn't change. So, we can't get out of this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. But we can fellowship with, as long as we are in control of the situation and we're witnessing. But we are not going to win them if we're like them.
That's right, preacher.
But we have to like them to win them. Well, I've got a little quips and quotes and anecdotes, but the Bible teaches water baptism is a likeness of some things that already happened. They're memorials in our life, and they verify to us. I remember when I first got married, I had no doubt this was the woman I was supposed to marry. I had no doubt. All the doubts were about me. Would I be a good husband? Would I be a faithful husband? Would I had so many doubts about me. And a couple weeks after we were married, I went to our bedroom and pulled the second drawer out, and I reached back in the back, and I found that little book, a little book signed by witnesses, a marriage certificate. I said, I really am married. I've been married, I've been happily married for 49 years. It'll be 50 years next June 16th. What a lucky lady you are. God bless you. But since that day, I've never had to find something that tell me and assure me that I'm married. I have not had to look at verses in the Bible since I fell in love with Jesus and since I married Jesus. I have trouble convincing other people I'm saved on any given day of the week. But I know I'm saved. I know I'm married to Jesus.
Amen.
But when I first got saved, I had to look some verses up.
Yes, sir.
And let the Bible say, that's what the Bible said. That's what the Bible said. I believe the Bible. I believe what he said.
Yes.
Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life, born again. I believe that. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. I got God's word on it.
Amen.
I'm saved because he says so, not because I say so. And so, baptism identifies you with the Christ that identified for you.
Amen.
He said, John, John said, I have a need to be baptized of you. And he said, no, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus said, I'm going to be totally identified with God's plan.
Amen.
And I'm going to identify as a sinner. He identified as sinners. His whole life he was, people said to him, we be not born of fornication. Very few believed Jesus was born of a virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly got it in his face as a child, as a young man. When he started the ministry, the Pharisees said, who do you think you are? We be not born of fornication. So that they wouldn't receive it. But they knew Messiah would be born of a virgin. The people of the Old Testament were not as ignorant as a lot of us Baptists want them to be. They knew things.
Absolutely.
Because many of them, they knew that baby when they saw it. We're not ignorant. Adam and Eve did eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
It wasn't just sin that got passed down to all of us. That knowledge got passed down to all of us. You can't sin ignorantly. You can sin in unbelief. But you know it's sin, or how could God judge you?
Preacher.
We have the knowledge of good and evil. See, before I got saved, I knew something was wrong before I did it. And I knew something was wrong after I did it. But after I got saved, I knew it was wrong before I did it, while I was doing it, after I did it.
Amen.
And carried those regrets. Identifies you with Christ. He's our example of righteousness. We get baptized because it identifies us. It identifies us as obedient. Okay. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, how did Jesus command us to baptize? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So if the phrase in Jesus' name means you're doing it by his authority, now how did Jesus command you to do it? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So all the way through the New Testament, when that phrase comes up, in the name of Jesus, or in the name of the Lord, that means by his authority.
That's
by what name and by what authority doeth thou these things? Talking to the apostles and the disciples.
Amen.
And they say, let it be known that by the name of Jesus, this man doth stand before thee whole. And at the name of Jesus, because he's commanded us to preach, we're going to preach. It's not an option for us. We're under command. And how much power and how much authority does Jesus have to tell us what to do?
Amen.
All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now, if you won't get baptized after you get saved, what else won't you do? So ask yourself.
Yeah.
If you won't even obey a command. And well, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, 37, 38. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to be baptized. You mean some preacher's going to command me to get baptized?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if you'd like, we'd really like for you to go ahead and get baptized tomorrow. If you really got saved, would you please, pretty please, let's get baptized. No. Peter commanded them.
Right.
It's Jesus commanded them. It's not an option. It's a command. Now, there's a lot of things I'm not very smart about. Oh, there's a lot of things. The more I study the Bible, the more I don't know what I thought I knew. If any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought. I haven't changed anything on the fundamentals of the faith, but I guarantee you I've grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Obedient. Acts chapter 9, verse 18. I try to quote verses, but I'm not giving you the addresses, so I better at least make you look at a couple of them. Acts chapter 9. Yes, I can't find Acts 9 in John 9. Acts chapter 9. Verse 18, the Bible says, and immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Paul had no problem with it. Saul, he was still Saul at that time. And so he says, well, I guess I better go get baptized. Christians get baptized when they're saved. They identify. They identify with other believers. They identify with the body of Christ. They identify that their sins are gone. They identify with confessing of sins. They identify with repentance from sins. They identify themselves as sinners that have been dead, are dead to sin, and alive unto God. Have you passed from death unto life? There's a lot of evidences. But if you haven't got even the first step, the first step of obedience is water baptism.
That's right.
Does it forgive your sins? Does it wash away? No. It has to happen before that.
Amen.
But once you do it, you don't have to do it again. It's a picture of what already happened in our life. Identifies you as obedient. Can you name me somebody in the Bible that refused to get baptized? I asked that question and a man said, thief on the cross! I said, you think he would have come down from that cross and got baptized? You think he wanted to say, hey, oh, excuse me for a while, could you cut me loose, take me down here for a little, I got to go get baptized. You think he would have refused to do that? Of course not. But because he didn't show the outward manifestation of water baptism, but it was too late because the thief on the cross was already in the kingdom of heaven by then, probably.
Amen.
He was already getting ready to see Jesus come into paradise with him.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, I tell you, we shouldn't refuse baptism. Why do people get baptized? Because it identifies you with the whole ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that does this work. He places you in Christ. And Christ places you in the Spirit. And the Father places you in both. It's not just a ministry of one of them. Because the Baptists they debate each other over who's the baptizer, Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Well, yes, they both are. And because you can't slice and divide the Trinity.
How about that?
They're three equal, co-synchronized, in harmony. They're all involved in all of this. They were all involved in creation. They're all involved in your sanctification. They're all involved with the work of God. It identifies you with the work of the Holy Spirit of God. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. It identifies you with the church. Now, how long can a man say, I'm a member of the earthly church, but I'm not a... But so that automatically makes me a member of the heavenly church. No, Jesus had a devil among his 12 too. But God knows who was. Jesus knew who all those were. He knew who was saved and who was not saved. And in every local church, you're going to find some lost people in it. But that doesn't mean it's not the true church on earth. Well, one of these days, there's going to be one Lord, one faith, one baptism, of which water baptism is a picture. We're all getting to heaven the same way.
Amen.
We're all going under the blood. And we're all going because the Holy Spirit of God has applied the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of oil is the only place where the blood is. The blood has to be there first in all the ministries. And only by the Word of God, and the living Word of God is Jesus, He's the only one that can take your sins away. The Bible says and we've seen this again in India and Nagaland, where 14 Muslims got saved. We had to find a place they could go and get baptized. And we had to do it in secret. We had to do it about 1 o'clock in the morning. And every one of those people, they knew they had the death sentence upon them if they got caught.
Yeah.
It happens in communist countries all the time. It happens in Muslim countries all the time. But you know, people that get saved in foreign countries, I know that video must have been something special. But they go to church knowing that when they go home, they're not going to have anything left. And all they have is a propane tank to make the fire with, a bucket of rice, and a cot with some visqueen over the top of it in the villages that I go preach in. But some are going to steal them blind, but they're going to come back and they're going to start every day, every Sunday. They have to start all over when they get home. Find a way to get a propane tank to cook their rice, to boil their water. America, man says, hey, somebody's trying to break into my home. It's Sunday. I guess I better stay home and protect my stuff. What are you supposed to do on the Lord's Day? Go to the house of God. As their habit was, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores God has prospered you. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples come together to break bread, that's what we're doing. We're breaking the bread of the Word of God. Now you can you may discern or divide or determine something a little bit different in this. But this is one of the reasons why I would not receive somebody into the membership of a church that had been baptized that didn't believe all that.
Amen.
We call it foreign baptism, alien baptism. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What doth hinder you to be baptized? If you've here and you've never been baptized, well, I've got the Holy Ghost baptism. Well, in our key in Holocaust, Kai Holocaust in Prasanti, Ankatian in Holocaust. Well, what's that mean? Nothing if you haven't been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God. It doesn't matter whatever evidence you want to perform if you haven't obeyed the first commandment. It's not a good idea It's a wonderful command that identifies us with each one of you. I may be a member of a different church, but I'm just like you.
Amen. Amen, brother.
We're one of the same family. We will be one in the same church one of these days. There's going to be one church in one location to the first assembly of God and church of the firstborn in heaven, to the spirits of just men made perfect. One of these days, Jesus is going to be the only pastor. Till then, he's subdivided us into all these different groups around the country, assembling themselves together, identified with the salvation of their soul, the confession of sins, repentance of sins, and identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ himself, who made himself of no reputation. That's pretty bad. He became a sinner without sinning. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I'm going to wear his ring. I'm married to Jesus. I'm not ashamed. And he said, get baptized. Do you have to understand all that I just said? No, I don't think you can deny it. I mean, I don't understand a lot of things, but I don't deny it. And so, as a visiting preacher, my authority is the Word of God. I'm just going to preach. And it's up to you to examine yourself. Am I where God wants me to be? Have I identified myself? Am I truly dead to sin and alive unto God? Am I truly walking in the Spirit? Because my old man's been crucified. He's never going to have to be crucified again. Even though we die daily, that just means that we identify that he's dead. Michael Jerk Thurman is dead. But Michael Jesus Thurman lives on. And I just keep coming back and leaning on Jesus in me. What? Know ye not how that Christ Jesus is in you? Except you be reprobate. And so I pray God will give us understanding. And as all of my preaching, even if it goes over your head, or even if you get stuck on one point, it's to arouse your holy curiosity that when you study your Bible, you're going to go back and look at these things again. Yes, just giving you a reason to go back and look at it again. Because when you look back at it again, you're going to say, I've done the will of God. He's pleased with I've done as it was commanded me, and yet there is room. Father, we love you. Ask your blessings upon the message. Lord, it's a little Sunday school lesson, but Lord, I pray that you will bless it and give us, arouse our holy curiosity to look at it all and meditate upon it one more time in Jesus' name.